Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, this is Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, coming to answer your colour and style questions. First question comes from Emily, who says, can you please explain how you determine clear versus muted or smoky or dusky or dull, however you want to call them, colours? Is it the brightness of the natural colouring or the degree of warmth or coolness? Or a combination of those and value contrast? Can a person have a very low value contrast and still be clear? So contrast is separate to intensity. So if we think about the properties of colour, so colour has three properties. It has the intensity, that is how bright or muted the colour is. It has the undertone, a warm or cool undertone, yellow or blue-based. It has the value, how light or dark it is. So if we're just looking at the intensity, what we're looking at is we think about we've got really bright colours down one end of the scale and really muted colours down the other. And of course, everything in between. We go from the really bright to the slightly softer, slightly softer, slightly softer, till we get to the basically they look like grey. So how do I look at that when I'm looking at a person? So what I'm looking at is how clear your colouring is. Do you have a really solid hair colour, such as like a dark brown or a black, such as a bright red, such as a really strong golden blonde, like a platinum blonde, all these colours, hair colours, very bright naturally. Is your skin really clear? Is it really, really white? Is it really, you know, does it have a real clarity to it? Are your eyes really bright? Are they bright blue, a really brown, black? Do they have an intensity to them? These things go together to create your intensity. And so therefore, when I'm looking at intensity, I'm looking at the clarity of your features, in particularly kind of skin and hair are the two that really come together, but eyes do come into this equation as well. So if you have a kind of hazily more indistinguishable colour eye, you probably haven't got the same brightness. If you have a mousy, dark blonde sort of coloured hair, potentially, you also haven't got that same clarity of colouring natural. You are softer more naturally. Now, when we're thinking about over our age, we can start off with, you know, I had black hair when I was young and I have gone really quite grey. My colours are softening down. Now, because I'm not showing you my grey, apart from a little bit of the roots, then what happens is, because I've gone a blonde and it's a reasonably bright blonde, it allows me to wear a little bit more brightness in the colours that I wear than I could if I'd gone grey, which is a softer colour. Because I have a shinier skin, that also allows me to wear a little bit more brightness in colours than if I had a more matte skin, because shiny skin reflects more light. So when we are thinking about intensity, it's actually not to do with value, because bright blonde or dark brown or red or something, you know, the kind of a really strong colour in the middle of the value scale can all be bright. What I'm looking at is how strong your colouring is. So what happens if somebody goes grey, we are muting down, and that means that the colours are softer. Now, there's two ways of making a grey down or muted colour. One is to just add grey to it. The other is to add a little bit of the complementary colour to it. Now, so the complementary colour is the colour opposite on the colour wheel. So if I add, say, to orange, a teeny bit of blue, which is opposite on the colour wheel, that will actually grey down the orange. But it also will make the orange not quite as warm as it was, because when we're going across to the complementary colour, it's always the opposite overtone. So a blue into an orange, so a cool colour into a warm colour. If I was looking at violet, for example, and yellow, that would be the violet is cool and the yellow is warm. So we're always adding, or I could warm up the violet by adding a little bit of yellow, or I could warm up the blue by adding a little bit of orange. So we're always actually, what happens as we the colours mute down, they get closer towards the warm and cool. So we think about we've got the warm colours and the cool colours. And all the things in between, and in the middle, we've got that neutral, but there's really very little that's neutral. What happens is those colours that are much more grey down are actually much closer to that warm, cool divide, because we've used the complementary colour to grey that colour down. And that is why those colours sit more in the middle. And that's why often when somebody has more muted colouring, they find the old gold, silver, warm, cool much harder to tell, because it's not as obvious, because they are closer to the middle of that warm, cool, rather than being at one of those extreme ends. So this is why, you know, it's a bit of fun to do this in painting. It's something we do in our training, colour training courses. Actually get my students to do some painting, get some colours out and see what happens when you add one colour to another colour. So it's something, if you've got some paints at home, have a go at it. It's really good fun to play with. But try and paint yourself a colour wheel. Try and paint every colour as a tint, a tone, a shade, all these sorts of things. It really gives you a much better understanding about how colours work. Now, talking about value contrast, does all muted people have low value contrast? The answer is no. Now, if you had low value contrast before you became more muted, or were just born that way, then you will all the time. But you could have dark brown eyes and have gone grey from blonde, you could have gone grey from blonde, but you've still got that dark brown eye, which is giving you a higher value contrast. Or you could have those dark brown eyes and you could have a light coloured eye, but you could have a dark grey hair and a fairer skin, and that's also going to give you that value contrast. Or you can have really dark skin, and originally have had the really dark hair, and in fact what happens as you've gone grey is your hair's got really light but your skin remains dark. So you can absolutely have a high value contrast even when you have a low intensity, so you're more muted in your colouring. So hopefully that makes a little bit of sense. I know it's kind of technical, but it's nice to think that you're thinking about how does this all work. But one of the things I really notice about people who have naturally more muted colouring, they generally don't have really obvious colours in them. Oh, my dogs are deciding to have a fight. In the way that people who often have brighter colour, like I used to have the black hair and the blue eyes and the really white skin, so it was kind of really obvious colouring in the way that, you know, that if I have, you know, gone grey and I've got more, my skin is not as white as it used to be. It's really changed in the 20 something years since I was like that. But yeah, it really can change over time. So hopefully that makes sense. Okay, our next question comes from Bella. Can a colour or neutral be neither warm nor cool, or truly in between? So there are some universal neutrals, and this is where they have elements of both warm and cool. So if we look at a taupe is a brown grey. So the brown is more warm and the grey is more cool. So what we're looking here is a kind of universal neutral. It's neither warm nor cool. We can have a marine navy. So that is a blue that's got some green in it. So it's that green has warmed it up, because of course to make green you have to add yellow. So therefore we have warmed up that navy and made it universal. There's an off-white. So this sort of white I'm wearing is a fairly universal white. It's not really creamy. It's not really white. It's also another of those kind of neutrals that can go both ways. So really, yeah, there are some colours. So they've always got that element of warmth and coolness. And this is why a red violet you'll find in every palette, because a red violet is a warmed up violet rather than a cool down blue violet. But the cool people can wear it as well. A teal, it's a blue green, and therefore it's got elements of warmth and elements of coolness. Both these things have that warm and cool element. So when we are thinking about the more universal colors, they are colors that have both a warm and a cool element, like something mixed into it to make them more neutral. Let me just look at the rest of this question. I found in my closet that there are items, especially those with what I call a neutral grey, that look good with warm or cool colours. Yeah, so these are probably a warmish grey. So rather than being a cool grey, they're probably a greeny grey or possibly a yellowy grey, because that has some warmth with the coolness of the grey. So absolutely, there are a few colours that do. So there are some greys, some taupes, you know, the marine navy. These colours go across all palettes and can be worn in different ways with different colours. Final question for today comes from Emily, who says, I have 20 signature colours in my swatch. Should I interpret that How should I interpret that in trying to narrow down my options? Are they all equally good? So that means you've got really the right swatch. If I can find 20 colors, it means that this swatch is so fabulous for you. I love you in all those colors. When I'm choosing signature colors, I don't want to narrow you down too much. And this is where you might say, I might go, you'll have all these signature colors, but you might say, the very best of those could be in the same value as my hair, because that's your ideal value. So these are the ones you can wear head to toe really easily, should you choose to. A lighter version than your hair, or a really darker version than your hair, might need something to go back with it to create the right value contrast or to create your ideal value. So I'd say the very best ones out of your signature colors would be, if you're wanting to limit them, this is where some people want to be limited and other people want all the options. And it's very hard for me to know because I'm not inside your head. So if you want to limit yourself, go for the ones that are in the same value as your hair. These will be your very best signature colors. You'll find too that you might find that you really like eye enhancers. So colors that are the same colors as your eye or within your eyes. And you could go through the ones and have a look at the ones that you love the best. You might find that hair enhancers, like I've found that since I've gone light blonde, that I really like wearing white, you know, just soft whites, because they're very versatile for me these days. And that's because they relate to my hair color and I can wear my colors back with them. And of course, I love my blues, because my blues and I've got my blue eyes, they're my eye enhancers. For some people, it might be their skin and lip enhancers they really love wearing. So this is where it's very personal to decide which are the colors you love best, because you will relate to some colors more than others. You might like, you know, the reason you like colors can be something quite personal as well. There's all sorts of different things that come into color and the color psychology and the colors you choose. So if you want to limit down even your signature colors, really look at the ones that you love best, the ones you get the most compliments wearing, the ones that make you feel the best. And of course, remember that color is great, but you've also got to find the style of the garment and everything else like that in it that you love as well. So sometimes, you know, we've got to get that marrying up both the style, the personality, all those things, plus the color, and that's when we get the best garments. There's no point in going for a piece of clothing that just it's this fabulous color, but you don't love the style, or it doesn't fit you quite right, or it's not your personality. There is no point in doing that. So I always go, and this is why having a few more options in color is going to give you a few more options, because we never know what you're going to be able to find in stores at any one time, and color trends change and all that sort of stuff. So it really is important to be aware that if you over-limit yourself, you might find it's a little bit tricky to find anything. And that your signature colors are great colors. It's already been selected from the massive swatch of 50 colors. And remember that the swatch is just 50 of the 50,000 that you can wear. Sorry, my dogs are having a fight here today. They're a little bit, what's the word? They're playing bitey face, very whippity, but it's been raining, so they can't get outside and have a run around. So they're going a little bit nuts. just jumped over the top of the couch. So anyway, I will leave you there because they're getting a bit noisy. I hope you have a lovely rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit InsideOutStyleBlog.com, where you will discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.